back to just reiterating a little bit, just to be clear, the only people with a right to Philistine are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And not just them, but the righteous ones. Is that correct?
And not just the righteous and those who seek justice and uphold the commandments of God.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Now, I have a question that now I'm going to take us all the way back to the very beginning before we start another topic.
Okay.
Okay. Abraham, peace be upon him, where was he from? And can you explain to us geographically today where that would be and back in biblical times?
Well, Abraham for sure is from Iraq, what's known now as Iraq.
Today.
At that time, it's known as Mesopotamia. And it is, in history, two major empires came from Mesopotamia. One in the north, and it's known as Assyria, and its capital is Mosul.
Okay.
Nowadays, Mosul. This is where the battle is for 3-4 years. And one in the south or center of Iraq, it's very well known as Babylon.
Okay.
In Arabic, we say Babel, but it is in English, Babylon. So Babylonian Empire. And these were in the 3 millennia before Christ, actually, and they alternated each other. But in the millennium just before Christ, the Babylonians invaded or defeated or conquered the Assyrians, and they came to Palestine. Then Persians came after that to them. So speaking specifically, Abraham was not
Palestinians
or Canaanites or Israelites, of course.
Okay,
so it would not be wrong to even say Abraham was an Iraqi.
He was an Iraqi. He was Mesopotamian.
Okay.
That's the truth. That's what I said and what Allah, God praise to him, told us that he wanted to make him feel good after being forced from his town. Actually, if he stayed, they would kill him. And the Quran told us that they threw him in the fire. Then he came out in peace, in cool from the fire. But he could not stay anymore. So in faith, yes, you spread the faith around the world. And this is really the message of Allah, God praise to him, to spread it. Nothing wrong with that. But Abraham he is holy.
Yes.
He is precious. He is righteous. He refused to take a little piece of land, a grave for his wife, until the people in Hebron accepted
his payment.
To sell him, the payment. He said, no, I cannot take it for free. So for people to come, immigrants from other continents, and take the property of a population, like the case what happened in Palestine. But you wanted to ask me about current
actually,
era.
I'm going to go into the next era of this, and we're going to talk. Did you have a question?
Well, before you go into the next era, because I was going to say, leading into the next era, which is going to be the Islamic era, correct?
Yes.
Leading into that, we spoke about this. Constantine, the Emperor Constantine, who is the one who spread Christianity throughout the world, so to speak, maybe the Arabian world especially.
In fact, around the Roman Empire, not only just in Arabia, because the Roman Empire was in Europe, Southern Europe, North Africa, all North African states, what we know, they became Christian. And Eastern Mediterranean, Middle East.
So you said something to me off air that I wanted to share because I just think it's important for people to hear. So the teachings of Jesus that were brought to the Bible were brought from Saul, or who they call Paul, correct? So this is what you said specifically, that if Allah, he knew. So that's what brought Islam into the picture, because people were not actually following the way of Jesus, peace be upon him. They were following the way of Paul and his teachings, which were not exactly what God intended and what he brought from Jesus, peace be upon him.
To the vast majority of what you said, I would agree. Actually, Islam, there would be no need for Islam if Jesus Christ, peace be to him, were allowed to complete his message, the message of God to humanity. You know, everybody knows that he stayed preaching only 3 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
And his message was interrupted. And according to what Allah, God praise to him, told us in the Quran, then he lifted him to in heavens mm-hmm. until a date Allah would decide, then he would send him back to earth.
Yes.
But the message was interrupted.
Yes.
And you are absolutely correct. So then Allah, praise to him, wanted to complete the message.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, was in his farewell address in pilgrims in Mecca, in pilgrimage in Mecca, the verse came, the final, in fact, came, and many Sahaba, many companions said, we should have a celebration right there, annual celebration at the moment. And the verse says, today, God is telling the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Muslims, and believers all over the world, and humanity actually. Today, I have completed your religion mm-hmm. for you, and I bestowed my blessing on you, and I am content that Islam is your religion.
Alhamdulillah.
So Allah, praise to him, wanted to complete his messages to humanity by this Quran that we have, the holy book,
mm-hmm.
that, and he promised he would preserve it. So no human or non-human can change any word or any letter in it, because God said, I will preserve it. And I don't need to send more messengers. You have the message here. Spread it in all languages. Spread it among all people throughout history in any location.
So that leads us into the Islamic era of Philistine. So what is the importance of the Holy Land generally, and Al-Quds, Jerusalem in particular, for Islam and Muslims?
Yeah. In fact, these days, there is a lot of talk about Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is always in the heart of believers, whether what we call the believers who followed Abraham, Moses, Solomon and David, Jesus Christ or Muhammad. All of them are messengers of God. Peace be upon all of them. Jerusalem is in the heart of righteous believers. What, in particular in Islam, it was the first Qibla. Qibla means direction. When Muslims pray, they make every effort possible to direct themselves to where nowadays where Mecca is. But at the beginning, when the messenger of God started, and when they pray, they would face Jerusalem. They would face, because they still did not have their own mosque. Islam was still at the beginning.
Okay.
So where is the mosque that the believers before us prayed in? Okay. That was the first mosque that Solomon, peace be to him, built in Jerusalem. We say in Arabic, Baytul Maqdis, the house of holy.
Okay.
And we cherish it more, just if it is like our brothers and sisters in Judaism and Christianity, we cherish it more, the symbol. So this is the first thing. The first thing is that Muslims prayed facing Jerusalem as the place where the first mosque before Islam was mentioned. Second, it is mentioned by the Prophet and teaching us, teaching Muslims all over the world, if you travel to be close to Allah and His mosques, there are three for you. The one in Mecca,
yes.
The one in Medina,
yes.
And the one in Al-Quds. Al-Quds is the Arabic word, means the holy.
Yes.
That's Jerusalem. So Al-Quds is the place where the third holiest place for Muslims. And actually, before this European invasion of 1917, which brought the British, Muslims all over the world, whenever they went to pilgrimage to Mecca, they would still go to Jerusalem. So they would go to Mecca, then visit the Masjid of the Prophet in Medina, then they would go to Jerusalem to complete the pilgrimage. In fact, That's the second. Third, Al-Quds or Jerusalem unifies the three religions, mm-hmm. the three Abrahamic religions, of course. Of course, this Islam is the message of God to humanity from the time of Adam. Mm-hmm. And of course, after Adam, Noah. And between them, or after Noah, we know Hud and we know Saleh, Ad and Thamud. And there are so many other messengers of God. And like I said, mentioned before, some of them are mentioned, some of them are not mentioned. But Al-Quds unifies what's known now the three traditions after Abraham, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And Jews would glorify and venerate the remnant of the Mosque of Solomon. It's just one wall. They believe that it is one wall of the temple, or we call it the mosque.
Sure.
And Christians, the Nativity Church, this is where the history of Sayyidina Isa, this is Isa is the word in Arabic for Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
And we cherish that as Muslims also because we believe Isa is a Muslim messenger
yes,
and
yes.
righteous Christians are also Muslims, like righteous Jews are also Muslims. So Jerusalem is our fairest Qibla. It's the third holiest place. Mm-hmm. And it unifies the three religions, Abrahamic religions. And if you want more, it is Heaven's Gate.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yes. When, in fact, and this is what's called the Isra wal Mi'raj, maybe another talk.
Okay, so I have a question. Well, I already know the answer, but we can kind of like speak on this a little bit about how Islam actually looks and thinks of all the prophets throughout history, the Christians and the Jews, and I'm going to say Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, and Jesus. I mean, how do we as Muslims view them? Can you tell our listeners?
In fact, yes. This is also, while talking to people from other religions, I sense that they did not know that.
They don't know.
Islam is completely different.
Exactly.
It's really, like I said, it's completion of God's message to humanity.
And another thing that they have no idea that we believe in is the return of Jesus, peace be upon him.
Oh.
They have no idea that we're still waiting for that also. So why don't you elaborate on that just a little bit, how we as Muslims view all of these prophets.
Okay. All messenger of God, and I mentioned not necessarily those prophets or messenger who came after Moses,
mm-hmm.
or between Moses and Jesus, but even before, like I mentioned there, where people called Ad and Thamud. And he sent messengers to them. But we don't have their books.
Mm-hmm.
There are thousands and thousands of years mm-hmm. before the written history. We call it prehistory.
Yes.
Sure.
We don't have that. So Allah, praise to him, send messengers every now and then when people forget the message or no books, mm-hmm. they were illiterate, etc. So all these are messengers of God.
Mm-hmm.
We look at them as Muslim messengers of God. This applies to Noah, Abraham, of course, to Adam first.
Sure.
Adam, Noah, Abraham, Thamud, Hud, Saleh, Jonah, Yunus, Job, Elijah,
mm-hmm.
David, Solomon,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, and of course, the seal of all of these, the last one who sealed the whole message, Muhammad.
Peace.
We say that all the time. Peace and blessings be upon all of them.
Amen.
And there is a verse in the Quran in chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 136. It says, we make no distinction between any of them. And we are all Muslims in submission to him. So concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
There is a verse in the Quran that life on this planet will not end completely, or the end of days would not happen until Jesus comes back
yes.
And all those who rejected him in the past will believe in him.
Yes.
This is the verse about
yes.
the second coming. The hadith, which is the second source in Islam, this is what the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said explaining the Quran. He had long hadith about the Antichrist mm-hmm. coming first, and then Christ coming, and he will come to in Damascus. He will descend in Damascus. Then he will come to Jerusalem, and where he will find the leader of Muslims called Mahdi, the guided one, and he will pray with him, meaning uniting
yes.
the faith, actually. Everybody would be with him. And Muslims will be with him against the Antichrist. That's really our tradition. That's mm-hmm. the Quran, and that's the hadith.
Well, I'm glad that you spoke about that, because there are so many people out there who have no idea that no. we're waiting for...
We
return.
Believe in Jesus.
Yes.
He is the messenger of God, and we believe in everything truly said by Jesus. We're not responsible for what other people wrote about him.
And we believe that he came from a miracle virgin
and
birth.
Yes.
Yes.
And Allah, praise to him, told us unequivocally, he created him in a miracle
yes.
without a father, only
yes.
mother, and his mother, Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us the context always. He said, when I send a messenger to humanity, people would be expert in some things. I support my messenger with a miracle mm-hmm. to convince them. At that time, the expertise was in medicine. So Jesus healed people. Jesus,
yes.
he was a miracle in birth, actually, without a father.
Yes.
But the word Messiah in Arabic means the one who massages. He heals by massaging.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
like
meaning of
touch.
Yeah,
like a healing
by
touch.
Touching.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
And it is written in the Quran that he brought back the sight for a blind person,
mm-hmm.
and he. Blew in a bird made of clay, and the bird flew.
Mm-hmm.
And he once or several times brought somebody from the dead. All of these are miracles given to him, so people in Palestine would believe that he is the messenger of God. Like before him, Moses, peace be to him, was given the miracle of his stick that would split first would be a huge snake
yes.
eating all what they made
mm-hmm.
believe. Then it was used to split the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham's miracle was when they threw him in fire, he came back safe and cool, for example. Every messenger would be supported with miracles, something that the people at that time cannot do. In order to convince them, okay, this is truly messenger of God, follow his teachings.
Yes.
Okay, so
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, speaking about miracles, I mean, even Muhammad, peace be upon him, he came with miracles. And one of the miracles that he came with was the night journey. So do you want to elaborate on that just a little bit, maybe explain it to people?
I think this is the strongest area about connection between Islam and Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Again, one time, just mentioning miracles, for Sayyidina Muhammad, our master Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, his wife Khadija died.
Mm-hmm.
She was his basic support.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody ridiculed him, said bad words about him at the beginning of his mission. His uncle, who was his protector, also died. That's second. Third, when he was rejected in Mecca, he went to a neighboring city called Taif, hoping that if I failed here, I can succeed there. They mocked him, ridiculed him, and threw stones in him. He was bleeding.
Yeah.
He was, in spirit, in morale, the lowest you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, Allah, God, praise to him, wanted to give him a gift, something to lift his morale up. Also, it's far-reaching in meaning. He said, okay, I want you to come here. I want you to have an audience with me. First, you will go from Mecca to Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, upward to heavens. That's why I told you a little while ago, it's heaven's gate.
Mm-hmm. So the Al-Isra is heaven's gate.
Al-Isra means the night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem.
Okay.
Mi'raj means ascent to heavens.
Okay.
And it was in one night, in a very short time, and people were, the non-believers were hilarious about it. They said, okay, this is the proof. This man is crazy. This man is mad. It's impossible for you to go from Mecca to Jerusalem in just short time.
Yeah, like
and you claim
yeah.
And you claim that you went all the way to the seven heavens and above.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the seven heavens, we have no way to verify that. We don't know. But we know Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Describe Jerusalem for us. And some of them were merchants who knew Jerusalem very well.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabriel, Jibril, peace to him, the main, the senior angel, mm-hmm. who is charged with communication
Gabriel.
with mm-hmm. messengers of God, brought a picture of the city and the mosque in front of him. Nowadays, we speak about our telephones. We can Google it and mm-hmm. you will get it. So you can say Jibril Googled it
okay.
for him and brought it, and Prophet Muhammad started describing details and details
yes.
about the city. And some of them, of course, did not believe, but a lot of people believed. In fact, at that event, it is his companion Abu Bakr, may
yeah.
Allah be pleased with him, said, yes, I believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was after that called As-Siddiq, the one who believed
mm-hmm.
the Prophet. And this connection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise to him, could ascend Muhammad, could lift Muhammad, peace be upon him, directly from Mecca to heavens.
Mm-hmm.
But Allah wanted it to connect Mecca with Jerusalem.
Yes.
I sent my messengers here and my messenger here, and I want you guys, humanity, because God said Muhammad is the mercy for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say the mercy for Arabs or for Africans
yes.
or for Europeans or for Asians. He said for humanity.
Yeah.
It's not one location
mm-hmm.
and it's not one time.
Yes.
So he said, you believers, think about that. I want you to think Mecca is holy and Jerusalem is holy. I want them to be connected.
Yes.
It's one religion. It is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it is the heaven's gate. They ascended to heavens. And in every heaven, he would meet with the spirits or with previous messenger of God. Until they finished the seventh heaven, then Gabriel himself, Jibril, said, I cannot proceed any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, was taken to the audience of Allah, praise to him. And when he came back and the companions asked him, one companion asked him several years later, how did Allah, God, look like? What did you see? And the answer was, I saw light.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah telling us in the Quran, he is the light of heavens and earth.
Wow.
So this is Jerusalem. Jerusalem
yes.
is everything.
Yes.
Not only for Jews or not only for Christians, but it is for Muslims.
It's
it
the
is
Holy Land.
And nobody
yes.
can take it from Muslims, in fact.
Yeah.
Just like nobody can take the Holy Land from the true descendants of the Israelites. No matter how much power you have on earth,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much money you have on earth, no matter how many weapons you have on earth, you cannot take the Holy Land of Palestine from the Palestinian people. Why? Because Allah gave them.
This is God's intent.
No matter
yes.
what,
mm-hmm.
they are there, and they will be there.
Okay, well, that brings us to the current conflict that's going on. And it's a touchy subject, I know, but I want to talk about it, and I want to know, when did it start, the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians? When did it start and how did it start? Can you tell us about that?
I don't think it's touchy. This is knowledge.
Yes.
This is education.
Yes.
For centuries, I just said, And I insist and I argue 100 years if God will give me 100 more
Inshallah.
Years. That what's known as Palestinians, Canaanites and Israelites are the same after 1,000 years of interaction and another 1,400 years after Islam. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about a whole lot, maybe 2,400 years
yes.
of interaction. So we are the same people.
Yes.
True. So there, when it comes to that, there was no war between Muslims and Jews in the Holy Land after Christ. There was no intolerance. They coexisted in the Middle East. And the most noble, glorious, fantastic coexistence was in Andalusia. Just an example. Andalusia is the name of Arab Spain. Arab-Muslim Spain. Muslims were in Andalusia in Spain for 800 years.
Yes.
And you cannot find more tolerant civilization which brought Christians, Muslims, and Jews together in an example to humanity where all sciences and arts
mm-hmm.
flourished and respect and coexistence between the three. They lived there until 1492. This is the year Columbus sailed
west. Yeah, I was just going to say.
There was persecution of Muslims in Spain and Jews in Spain. Okay. So when you go to, and after that, after 1492, there is no incident in history that would show intolerance or hostility or wars between Muslims and Jews. This I want to make this clear first. When Jews started to be persecuted in Europe, actually, it's the Muslim world that welcomed Jews, actually. When they were persecuted in Spain, Morocco welcomed them. And until today, there is a big
population, yeah.
Jewish community
yes.
in Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens, equal rights, good standing. Another group went to Istanbul,
mm-hmm.
the capital of the Ottoman Empire. And they thrived there, actually. Then other European countries than Spain started to persecute Jews also. It's a fact. When this happened, then leaders, Jewish leaders, got together in various countries and started forming organizations to go against persecution of Jews. Among them, which became dominant after that, the Zionist movement.
Mm-hmm.
There were Zionist federations in the United States and in Europe. Jews getting together against persecution. Among the ones which turned to be successful, a conference in Switzerland, in a city called Bale or Basel. An Austrian attorney called Theodor Herzl became the leader of the conference because he really wrote a book called The Jewish State. He said his main argument, to solve the problem of persecution of Jews in Europe, we need to establish a state for Jews somewhere, a national homeland,
mm-hmm.
in order to free them from intolerance and persecution. There were suggestions to have it in Uganda, in Africa, or in Argentina, in South America, or in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the vote was for Palestine because of the history of Judaism in Palestine.
So there was already Jews living in Palestine at the
Of
time.
Course, Palestinian
yes.
Jews.
Yes.
But I, as I said,
mm-hmm.
remember what I said, Heraclius in 632... forced Palestinian Jews to convert to
mm-hmm.
Christianity. There were few Jews in Palestine. In fact, most of the Jews immigrated outside Palestine at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they are in the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
in Egypt, Syria, Iraq. These are, you can say, Oriental Jews, we see that. So Herzl, with his arguments in the first Zionist organization in Bale, Switzerland, in 1897, they agreed with him to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. Now, this is the agreement to solve the problem of Jewish persecution in Europe by immigrating to Palestine. It sounds very good. What about the Palestinian population?
Yeah, exactly.
He himself went there and he sent a delegation to study, and they found it is inhabited. There are people. And actually, one of them reported in a cable saying the bride is beautiful, but she is married.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Palestine is the bride.
She's already married.
But she's already married.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Dr. Anajar, can you tell us what is the core of the conflict?
The core of the conflict, the Zionist or Zionist. Now, we want to differentiate between Zionist and Jews.
Thank you.
Yes. You can be a Jew following Moses, the Torah, and the literature written by the rabbis and the prophets and the judges. And you are an American or Russian or Iraqi or Hindi, that like everybody else. Nothing wrong with that. And we should defend them against any persecution or hostility or anti-Semitism. Okay. But there is a group who are really militant. These are the Zionists who wanted really a national homeland for them. A Zionist state, actually, without regard to the Palestinian people, the descendants of the Israelites.
Yeah, and isn't it true that not all Zionists are Jew?
There are Christian Zionists.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, there are...
And I would add there are Muslim Zionists.
Yes, exactly.
And there should be Hindu Zionists.
I would imagine.
Anybody who would buy the argument...
Yes.
This argument that Israel occupies Palestine and takes the land position and ignoring the Palestinian people, the true descendants of the Israelites, these are the Zionists.
Yes.
And you will find Muslims in the Middle East, rulers,
yes,
actually,
yes,
with this persuasion. And in this country and all over the world, some
yes,
Christians have this no regard to
absolutely,
the Christians of the Holy Land.
Exactly.
No regard to the Muslims of the Holy Land.
Exactly.
No regard to the Oriental Jews, actually, of the Holy Land.
That's right.
That all what they are thinking about, this is an argument that they want to impose it on the world.
Exactly. I mean, we have Jews here in the States, and I'm sure all over the world, who are completely against Zionism.
Absolutely. And a lot of...
Yeah, I just wanted to put that in there, that there's a difference between the Jews and Zionism.
Absolutely. So... What do the Zionists, the state they built after that, I mentioned earlier, until the British came in 1917, why would the British give Palestine to Zionists? There was a pact between them. The Zionists pledged to help them win the war against the Ottoman Empire, which refused to give them Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
In return, the foreign minister of Britain, called Balfour, infamous one, issued something we call it Balfour Declaration, 1917, November 2nd, in which he pledged that the government of Britain should help the Zionists establish a national homeland for them in Palestine. Without mentioning, they wrote it in the declaration without affecting the rights of the indigenous population, but it really did.
Yes.
You took my house, you took my
land.
So they're
making decisions for someone they didn't
yes,
take into consideration.
Exactly. Yeah. Like when somebody says, look, I am giving your city to her.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are you to give Jerusalem to somebody else? Jerusalem is owned.
Yes.
Palestine is owned.
That's like
these are the Israelites that God told us he gave it to them. Nobody can take it from them.
That's like I'm going to take your home away from you right now and give it to somebody else,
or
because
you invite,
they need a home, right?
Or you invite someone to stay in your house and you say, okay, you can have this living room and we'll be over here. And then they say, okay, well, we want this room too, so you stay in that room. And before you know it, you're
out
in
of
one tiny room and they got the
rest of the and still they want you still out of that little one.
Yes.
So to summarize it, the Zionists want all Palestine for free. Abraham bought the grave. And he was offered for free if they claim to follow Abraham.
So
and
you're God, saying this is
God promised it to him. And to his descendants. Well, yes, I promise you to go and live there, not to take the property of other people.
So this is what the Israelis want.
They want the land.
The whole land.
They want the whole land.
Where? Do you know from where to where? Demographically.
Two things here.
They want it all.
One.
Well, I kind of have it in my head.
The immediate one is from the river to the sea.
That's what
from the Jordan River. To the Mediterranean Sea, what's known as Palestine and Israel together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger one, and it is a verse in the Bible,
yes, yes.
This is from the river to the river.
Uh-huh.
From
that's
the
from
Nile
the
to the Euphrates.
Yes.
So after we get that and mm-hmm. we have it secured, we still our eyes on the rest of the Middle East.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes.
So there is Israel, and there is Greater Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Greater Israel means from the Nile to the Euphrates.
Yep.
It's a recipe for continuous wars,
yes.
continuous hardship, continuous suffering of humanity,
yep.
and most importantly, continuous waste of resources of this planet on wars instead of education, healthcare,
absolutely.
Housing,
yeah.
Solving problems of divorce. People are fighting
yeah.
and divorcing and
yeah.
drugs and alcohol and teenage pregnancy. These are the things that we should be concerned with.
Yeah.
Not helping an aggressor to keep expanding.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. So what do the Palestinians want?
The Palestinians, there are, after 1917, the British spent exactly 50 years in enabling Zionist immigrants,
yes.
illegal Zionist
yes.
immigrants, to come to Palestine armed. And they supply them with weapons. 1947, the United Nations General Assembly made a resolution dividing Palestine into two states. One Israel and one Palestine. Israel was established and declared, and the United States and the Soviet Union, the two superpowers, recognized Israel in 1948 in 15 of May. But nobody recognized Palestine. See the problem?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
The partition resolution said two states. Of course, this is really wrongdoing against the Palestinian people. Still, you are taking half of my country,
yes,
giving it to somebody else. I accepted that because I'm helpless. Okay, and even though the world which supported the existence of Israel did not support the existence of Palestine, although there was a resolution for that. Until today, the resolution is there. It's part of the international law. And everything else happened after that is illegal according to that. So what happened after that? Israel took even most of the Arab state of Palestine. The West Bank today, if you look at the map, in the compare the present map and the previous partition map. What's now known as West Bank is a small territory and dotted cities
yes.
and villages only.
Yes.
And the Israelis are taking the public land, government land, or between villages.
So if this is all illegal, who is it up to prosecute the people that are breaking the international
law? The superpowers.
Yeah.
Superpowers should impose that. But superpowers are with Israel.
Yes.
And
that's the injustice.
America, they're supplying Israel with money.
Yes.
Do you know how much money annually?
Yes, absolutely. In the annual amount of money, the official one, is 52. A little bit more than $3 billion a year. B with a B, not
yes.
million.
B.
3,000 million.
Mm-hmm.
And basically weapons
billion.
And money,
weapons. Yeah.
Basically weapons, so Israel can be stronger than all Arab states combined. And Israel is the only nuclear power in the Middle East.
And with that information, how can it be possible, because we hear on, you know, news and media during this present conflict that America is trying to broker some kind of peace negotiation. Is it possible for America to be
you
a peace
can,
negotiation
America,
while still applying Israel with money?
No. America can be broker if it mediates honestly between the two, not siding with one against the other, apparently. if you are siding with one, how can you be mediator if you are siding with
your brother? You cannot.
Yeah. Actually, during the Obama administration, Obama made sure, and there is no difference between Republicans and Democrats in this one.
Yes.
In this,
there is a huge difference internally.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's very well known internally what Democrats stand for and what Republicans stand for. Mm-hmm. And American people choose every election turn what they want. But in foreign policy, it is really Israeli-dominated foreign policy, or siding with Israel. Against whom? Against the helpless Palestinian people. Mm-hmm. In fact, during Obama administration, he obligated other administration after him, which means this administration and the one after. In 10 years, Israel will get $30 billion. And if you look, any listener can look at the GDP of Israel, or the GNI, General National Gross National Income. Mm-hmm. Israel is among the wealthiest in the world.
And this is our money, listeners.
Yes,
this
yeah.
is our money.
And so it is used against Christian Palestinians and Muslim Palestinians
yes.
who are descendants of the Israelites.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So we also have to think, how would we feel as Americans if Canada was doing the same thing to us?
Coming to your home and telling you, get out of here.
Coming down to the United States and taking half of it away from us.
Yeah.
How would we feel? You know, we have to think so, about that.
Or just walking to Alaska through a checkpoint where you have to be frisked every time you go and possibly killed because you're just trying to get food back and forth.
Yeah. So let me just continue. About this partition resolution is one. But right now, Palestinians are so humble in their demands that they would accept 1967 war or pre-1967 war border, which
yes.
is very much less
yes.
than partition resolution. For example, personally, I'm talking about my family.
Yes.
We are from Ashdod.
Yes.
According to the partition resolution, our village, Ashdod, is part of the Arab state of Palestine.
Yeah.
According to 1967, we are no longer part. Gaza becomes a small strip of land. Right now, there are 2 million Palestinians, refugees who were forced out in 1948, living in Gaza and under siege for 10 years.
Ridiculous.
Every now and then, they would open the border for them for humanitarian reasons, for sick people, some surgeries in Egypt, for example, some students, or some Americans are visiting.
Yes.
But it is really a prison.
Yes.
Gaza is a prison.
I was going to ask you about the conditions. I don't know when the last time was that you've been over there, but what are the conditions like for those people right now?
Deplorable.
Last time I was there in 2010.
Okay.
They would allow the borders to be open, and I just rest. I want to see my mother, really.
Of course.
She was sick,
you're
and
right.
I wanted to visit her. And after that, they closed. Egypt is really closing the border. They have their own views about that, and they have their own civil war right now, actually. I'm not trying to make excuses
yeah,
for them.
They have problems.
But they are just together with Israel surrounding Gaza Strip, for example. The West Bank, just like I told you, is just patches of land of Palestinian villages and cities. Outside these villages and cities, it's just the Israeli government expanding settlements, illegal settlements,
yes.
all the time. So Palestinians, what do they want now? They want a Palestinian state on the borders of 1967, which is about 22% of Palestine.
Yeah,
not half, 22%. And still the Israelis don't want. And of course, Jerusalem is the capital of
this
Palestine.
Is why.
Jerusalem was annexed by Israel by force in 1967. And no Muslim in general would accept that.
Absolutely
no Christian
not.
Would,
and nor
would
should
accept
they.
That.
And,
and absolutely no Palestinian would accept that. That is the situation right now.
But, living inside there, I'm hearing stories because, we've had interviews with people and we've seen people and talked to them. And we know that even to get medication sometimes it's literally impossible.
Medication, a loaf of bread.
Yeah, food, you know.
There are donations going, for example, to Gaza from Arab states, mm-hmm. from the United Nations, just to keep them surviving. It's like just don't want them to die.
Yeah.
But yeah. No jobs. Imagine your son or daughter going all the way to college.
Yeah.
Then they graduate and they stay at home.
Yeah.
And they get married without jobs. Yeah. They get married because we need to get married.
Yes.
And they wait for, like their parents, for handouts from the United Nations. That's really what's happening in Gaza. They want them. What do
and
they
these
want?
These people want to work.
Yeah, they want to work.
Yeah,
they are
want
not
life.
Opening the borders. They're not allowing them to be independent. And ultimately, you're really killing the incentive inside people. Their morale is very low.
Oh,
imagine your daughter, your son, sitting with you because there is no other place to go to. And why is that? They want them to concede Palestine without any rights.
Yeah.
They want to say, okay, what you got, I have no right in that. That's what they want.
Well, as history has proven, in my opinion, you can only oppress a people for so long and they're going to rise up. And Palestine is going to rise up and Israel is going to crumble. And that's not because I say so. That's because I believe it's the will of Allah.
One word can describe the situation right now. It's called apartheid.
Yes,
you heard
I
about
wanted
it?
To ask you, about that. You know, what can the Palestinians learn from the experience of the South Africans during their struggle for freedom from the apartheid regime?
Yeah.
So
in
what
fact,
can they learn from that?
In fact, Palestinians can learn from African Americans
mm-hmm.
and from South Africans.
Yes.
But let me start with South African first.
Okay.
In South Africa, there were 4 million European mm-hmm. settlers who
yes.
came to South Africa. Half of them from the Netherlands,
yeah.
Dutch. They
mm-hmm.
speak Dutch. And another half from England.
Okay.
They speak English.
Yeah.
The Dutch had the Transvaal province. And the English established the Cape Town
mm-hmm.
province.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a war between them at the beginning, but ultimately they got together against the majority of Africans. So
yeah.
there were four, maybe five European settlers ruling over 25 million Africans, the indigenous population of the country.
Wow.
They ruled everything. They control the government. They control everything you can imagine. The army, the police, the education, the market. And Africans had to work in the settlements, in the cities, in the day. But they have to go back and sleep in their shanty towns, in their neighborhoods made of tin and wood, etc. At night. They were not allowed to stay in the city or in the workplace. It's equivalent, it's very close to the South, for example, during segregation.
Okay.
Not exactly like it. It's harsher than the South. So what did the South Africans did? They really, they fought against that, an armed struggle. Of course, this doesn't lead them anywhere. A better, a smarter way is really civil struggle. Just like African Americans during segregation led a struggle, continuous struggle, to convince the majority whites that we want equal rights. We are citizens of the country. We want citizenship. The system that South African had, which is separated population groups, they call them Bantustans. So Africans live in horrible conditions, substandard housing, healthcare, education, everything. And European settlers living as civilized and as any advanced capitalistic country. That was, we call it in literature, we call it apartheid.
Yes.
Segregation imposed on the majority indigenous population by a minority rulers from another country.
Which is what will happen to the Philistines if
it
they
It is
concede.
Really right
well,
now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Palestine is exactly like that. There are Israeli...
But if they conceded, it would be worse for them.
Yeah, it would be worse.
Yes.
President Carter wrote a book about
respect
that.
Respect the man.
And he said, Palestine, peace, not apartheid. The way he's advising the Israelis and the Zionists, the way for your peace and the peace of mind of the world is giving Palestinians their right, giving them their right for an independent state.
Yep.
From African Americans, I always tell anybody who asks me,
yes,
the right thing for Palestinians is really to follow the example of African Americans, asking for equal rights, not independent state.
Exactly.
We want it until now. Palestinians don't have citizenship.
So that's ridiculous.
They are not Israeli citizens.
I know. Yeah.
When African Americans were struggling, they were Americans, and they had citizenship, but they did not have equal rights. So they struggled not for independence or separation, but for equal rights.
Equal rights.
This is better, really, than having a small, little, tiny country with so many roads. Actually, roads are allowed to Zionist immigrants or Zionist colonists or Zionist settlers, and are not allowed to Palestinians. There are specific, of course, they don't go to schools, the same school. No same hospital.
All separated.
Complete segregation with force.
Yeah.
With soldiers protecting.
So if they had equal rights, if they had.
It's insane.
But if they had equal rights, then they had the equal voting power, right?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
And then this here could change the whole society.
Yes. And like South Africa, the 25 million, when they got the right to vote, they voted for Mandela.
Yes.
Who was in prison for 27 years.
Yes.
And the problem is solved.
Yes.
We didn't hear that Africans are persecuting Europeans. No, they are equal, they are citizens, and they are coexisting. And that's really the case in South Africa. And it should be the case in Palestine, Israel.
There
should
be the
two people together, equal rights, one person, one vote.
So why do the Palestinians not insist on that?
I understand that they want to have their own place. Right now, Palestinians are convinced with total American and European support for Israel. They know that there is no Palestinian state going to happen. So the struggle is going to... There is only one way for the struggle. Equal rights. And it should be done in civil way, in marches. They should study Martin Luther King, and they should study African Americans.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
With all the history behind us, this should be like a no-brainer. They should be able to see this is not going to work, and to what benefit is it for this short time? I don't know, but it's not going to work.
Well, they don't have the Palestinians. Unfortunately, do not have any outside support. It's obvious by looking.
They don't have it.
They don't have it.
I cannot deny that.
No. And that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have it. So they have to rely on what they can do themselves. And if they can try to get equal rights, then I think it's the best solution for now.
And they should appeal in that to the Israeli population.
I think so too.
To Jews all over the world who don't know what Israel is doing to the Palestinians.
Yeah.
And tell them, we are in origin, we are Israelites,
we are
faithful Christians and Muslims.
Yes.
And we don't deserve this treatment.
Oh my God, they're descendants of Abraham, peace be upon him.
Yeah.
You know?
The lesson here for everybody, all of our listeners, is this. This is 2018 almost, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So we've come so long, so far in our thinking and our ways. But don't think for a second that this could not happen to us.
Okay.
We have to realize that if we don't stand together for what's right, this could happen to us in a heartbeat.
Yes,
just because it hasn't touched our lands before doesn't mean it never will.
That's true.
So you have to think about these things and listen and learn and educate yourself to what's going on out there in the world. Mm-hmm. Because it does affect us.
Yes.
It's taking our money now, and we don't even know where it's going.
It's quite sad.
So,
you know, we really appreciate you coming here today and giving us all this information. You've really educated us, and we deeply appreciate your time.
I hope that education and knowledge will set people free. Actually.
This is the key to setting people free.
Yeah, it is. Education is the key. You know, that's the only way that people are going to know what's going on is by being informed.
And I appreciate all what you are doing to tell people about their Muslim neighbors. And we need to know each other, actually. And
yes, we do.
Interact with each other. Thank you.
And if you would ever be willing to come on again, we'd love to have you.
I'd be happy.
Sure, we'd love to have you. And we appreciate everything you've given us today, Dr.
El-Najjar.
El-Najjar.